The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
I was happy, mad, sad, angry, surprised, all at the same time. Like, I don't know what. And the voice of the Lord had to really speak to me and say, hey, snap out of it. We're on national television. We're going to deal with these emotions later. But your biological mother is standing in front of you. I want you to embrace her.
Pastor, speaker, writer, and television host Sam Collier tells his inspiring story of abandonment, sacrifice, gratitude, and rescue. Next.
Welcome to Life Today. I'm Randy Robinson. Sheila Walsh is with me.
Hey, guys.
We have such a wonderful guest. Sheila, I am excited about today's guest.
I am, too. And I want to read you just a paragraph from his book. It's something that he does when he is interviewing guests. He says, I remind my guest of the accomplishments he or she has racked up in life, all the high points, all the victories, all the wins. And then I say, but we know it didn't start there. Take us back to where it did begin, to the little version of you, to you as a child, before all the growth and successes. Give us a story of you. So welcome, Sam Collier. And that's from your book, A Greater Story.
I'm so excited and honored to be here. I see you guys from afar on the couch or on a cell phone or on an internet screen. And so it's awesome to be here during, I guess, a little bit of COVID-19 madness here in Dallas. And so it's just an honor to be a part.
Well, we're thrilled to have you. And, you know, you do have a lot of credits, author, speaker. I mean, we can go down the list. But like Sheila said in your introduction, we want to go back a little bit and hear about those small things that set you up for these great things.
100%. And, you know, Randy, I know we connect a lot in this kind of arena. And speaking of books, Sheila, I know we have the same publisher, so there's some connection.
Baker Books. Right?
Shout out. My life began in poverty. And our mother... I was 21 when she had me and my twin sister, and she had three kids already. And so as five kids, age 21, in the middle of a hospital, faced with a decision. My biological father at the time had left the picture because he was addicted to all types of substances. Actually, if I put a pin in the story and just go back, 3 months ago, we lost him from COVID-19.
I'm sorry. In New York City.
It's okay, you know, God, you know, has done what he's done, but he had diabetes, and he was in the hospital, and he actually left the hospital in the middle of New York City when COVID was at the highest, when it was kind of the hotbed, and went down the street to get drugs, contracted COVID-19, came back to the hospital, passed away. Only talked to him twice in my life. But I tell you that part of his story to let you know how long substance abuse has been a part of him. And so jump back to my mother being 21, he was gone doing some other things. And so she's faced with the decision, do I raise them in poverty, these two twins, or do I give them up for adoption in hopes that everything would work out, kind of send them up the river like Moses. And that's what she did and prayed. And don't get too sad, because I'm here, right? We did get adopted by a lovely couple who had met in Washington, D.C. a year prior to that. I know this is a couple of details. It's kind of like a little movie.
Right.
A year prior to that, in Washington, D.C., in a laundromat at 3 p.m.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. My dad, and I call him my adoptive dad, my dad who raised me, he usually went on a Saturday, but on this day went on a Sunday, and we're just washing clothes. And my mother, who adopted us, she was in there for a different reason. The night before, she had been hit in the head with a hammer.
Oh, my gosh.
By her ex-husband husband at the time, he was a Black Panther. And not all Black Panthers are violent, but if you know anything about the Black Panther Party. And so he was aggressive. So she got up that next morning saying, by any means necessary, I've got to get out of this situation. And I'll just be honest, she was walking around the laundromat with a gun in her purse. Because she said, even if I, you know, whatever it takes, I'm not going to lose my life in this marriage. And in the midst of her creating an alibi, runs into my adoptive dad in the laundromat. My dad's in his second divorce. she's in her, or getting ready to go through her first divorce. They walk out of the laundromat together. They start dating and give their life to Christ for the first time.
My gosh. Can I put a pin in just for a second? Because there was something I read in your book that really broke my heart.
Yeah.
You and your twin sister, you end up in foster care for about 3 months, which probably felt like 30 years.
Right, right.
And then when they came to adopt, I was horrified by what they were told about you and your sister.
Yeah. Well, what's wild is after they gave their life to Christ, they get married, realize my mother can't have kids, so they come down to Augusta to adopt us. And when they walk over to our crib, they say that they tell the lady, we want them. And she says, no, you don't want them because where they come from, they're probably not going to be much. Mm. Addiction, cocaine, potentially even prostitution. Mm. She said, so if this is your opportunity to do it right, my dad was in his 50s at the time because it's going into the last season of his life. You don't want to do it this way. And so our life began with this idea of being spoken down to, words spoken over us. My parents prayed. You've seen the movie War Room, Priscilla Shire, Kendrick Brothers, and they form a little war room in the adoption home, and they hear from the Lord, and they say, God tells them, no, they're going to be okay.
Wow.
These are your kids. Wow. They adopt us in spite of the words, take us home. Channel 2 News came to the house, and Christmas miracle, twins have been rescued. I'll fast forward the story and simply say, my sister gets all A's from kindergarten up to 12th grade, becomes an industrial engineer, Spelman, Georgia Tech grad, and I'm on life today, right?
So, you know, and I love that, you know, your book is called A Greater Story.
Yeah.
Yeah, the podcast, the television show that you do,
yeah.
A Greater Story. And to me, that is so important because the world does say things like was spoken over you and your sister.
Yeah.
No, this is their story. And the God we serve says, hang on a second. I got a story, and he, if we will let him, we'll play it out. What, when you look at, you know, where you're at today, what is your story?
Yeah, I think it's a story of God taking a mess and turning into a miracle. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think it's a story of extreme redemption and what can happen when certain individuals get out of the way and let him come in. I think it's a story of God rewriting what the enemy wanted our story to be and could have been had my parents listened to the lady that was running the home. Mm-hmm. And so I think an encouragement to all of us is we've got people in our lives that have spoken things over us that aren't from God. We've, we've gone through things, we've heard things, but God wants to come along and rewrite it if we let him.
One of the things, Sam, that I noticed is it's like if you go from your early beginnings and then to who you are today.
Yeah.
But there was a lot of discovery along the way because there were so many things you thought, this is what I'm supposed to do. This is what I'm supposed to do. And I'm thinking of our viewers at home who feel disappointed, something that they thought was their mission or something they thought was their... How did you find out? How did you work through the mess to think, this is why God put me on this earth?
Well, you know, I'm going to... try to restrain myself from running around because this is a really passionate topic for me.
Go for it.
I was mad at the church for a really long time, for about 3 or 4 years, because I hit a point after I gave my life to Christ when I was 16, about 16 to about 21, where I was doing everything that the preacher told me. I was reading the Bible, but I was still broke. I still had all these dreams, but had no idea how to get them out. I would go to conferences and hear speakers say, God has great things for your life. Mm-hmm. And then I would try to do it, and I'm like, maybe he doesn't, right? I mean, why would you give me? So it created this really deep frustration in me with the church. I'm like, is Christianity even real? Does it even work? To the point to where, you know, at one time even considered taking my own life. Just... when you are struggling with suicidal thoughts, it's because you can't see any other way out. And so for me, I said, God, you better either tell me how to fix the Rubik's Cube or just take me home. Mm-hmm. And he took me on a journey of discovery, and he let me know that it wasn't him that was wrong. It was some things that I didn't know that were hidden in the scriptures. The scriptures talk about the mysteries of the kingdom. Mm-hmm. And so often understanding how God is weaving our lives together and how he helps us discover who he's already created us to be is really more of a combination of a lot of passages together as opposed to just a chronological, okay, here's what happened here, here's what happened here. And so for me, I went down this journey of just discovering that I am who God has already made me to be, and purpose is more so surrendered to than it is found.
Okay, see, and that's where I wanted to ask you about that because, you know, in the church, and depending on your background, you know, I can tithe and obey as much of the new Christianese kind of law that we create, right? Yeah. Or in another circle, I can name it and I can claim it, you know, or I can have the faith. But when my plans don't work out, I blame God. How much of really finding our place and our purpose and our greater story is letting go?
I think it's 100%. It is at the place of surrender that purpose is found.
Mm, that's good.
That I think we can spend our lives trying to find something that's already there.
Right.
And I think God will, and he did this to me, he will push us to our lowest. He would let us run into as many brick walls as possible just to get us to say, okay, all right.
Right.
What do you want me to do?
Yeah.
Whatever you want me to do, even if it's something I'm not passionate about, I will do, because it's not about what I'm passionate about. It's about what you're passionate about for me.
You have an interesting little formula of where your passion, gifting, and provision collide. Unpack that a little.
Yeah. we took about on this journey of frustration and on the other side of God showing me these things, I started noticing that I wasn't the only one in this situation that was frustrated. And so we went on a 3-year journey with about 70 young adults.
Wow.
Helping them, some with master's degrees, some with no degrees, but loved God, helping them discover what their purpose is, because I had just gone down this journey. And what we found is that purpose is surrendered to, it's found, it's discovered. When passion collides with gifting and then ultimately meets provision. Mm. And it has to be all three. It can't just be two. And so I think one of the best ways to even describe it is, you know, this show kind of Life Today, right? There's some things that you guys are passionate about, changing the world, obviously, for Christ, but also it marries your gifting, which is speaking, hosting, ministering. And then there's a level of provision there where God provides through giving and through so many. I think when you see all three of those things come together, you find purpose. And if you're missing one, you may not fully be in what God's created you to be.
Yeah, yeah. And to dovetail on that, as you're going through this process, how much of it starts with the small things before you get to the big, great things that God has in store for us, or that we think God has in store for us? How much of it is really the being faithful in the little?
I got a quick story for that. It's everything. Because I think, you know, you hear the phrase, it's not about the destination, it's about the journey.
Right.
And so I think our entire life is about God fixing us on the way to the promise, right?
Absolutely.
Molding us on the way so we'll have everything we need. So I hit this point where I'm like, God, what's going on? And whatever you want me to do. And I'm walking down the street in California one day, and I just give it to him. I'm just like, all right, whatever, right?
Right.
Like, if you want me to go work at McDonald's, that's what I do. So I tell him, this is wild. The next job I get offered, I'm gonna assume is you. I just said,
that's risky,
right? I'm just like, all right, you know, if you want me to go work at McDonald's, nothing wrong with working at McDonald's. But if you're there, that's where I want to be.
That's good.
And I got offered a job to be a youth choir director from a random friend out of nowhere after a month at Ebenezer Baptist Church, Martin Luther King Jr. pastor.
Oh wow. Well, wow.
And I was like, youth choirs? I hate youth choirs. Like, right?
But you have a gifting in music.
I have a gifting in music. Mm-hmm. And it ultimately wouldn't be what I did, but it got me. So I show up to the choir rehearsal, and there's one girl in the choir.
Oh, that's more of a soloist.
It's a soloist. There's one girl in the choir for 4 weeks, her and her mother.
Oh my gosh.
And the Lord tells me, I want you to teach her that one girl like is 30.
Wow.
And so me and the young lady and her mother all just become close for these years. Long story short, 4 weeks goes by. The mother gets upset. She tells the pastor, hey, we need to tell the church to come and join the choir. So in 4 weeks, we have 30 people in the choir. Well, me and the young lady and the mother, we've gotten close. The youth pastor comes. I didn't even know he was there. And he says, do you know who that is? I said, no. He said, that's the niece of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And it was in that relationship that my ministry was born.
Being faithful in the little. Mm-hmm. Wow. More was born, yeah.
Let me ask you a very basic question, but I think of the number of people who write to me and I want to know God's will and I'm trying to do this. How important in your life is the Word of God?
Yeah. Wow. I had to pause on that one because I can remember my life without the Word. And I can remember my life when I get outside of the Word, where it ultimately takes me. And every time it's a disappointment. The Word is everything. When we are lost, the Word helps redirect us. I always say, you know, we talk about this three kind of prong strategy, but it has to be undergirded by the Word. Mm-hmm. That's how you know there's certain principles when we talk about gifting and passion, because we can be passionate about a lot of things, but if our passion isn't rooted in Scripture, then the passion is off. And so I think the Word, I mean, it's life. I mean, it was the living Word, right? It's it's living, it's jumping off of the pages. We find our existence in it.
Mm. So good. Now, I'm watching the clock here. There's something we have to get to.
Yeah.
Because at the top of your book, there's an endorsement from Steve Harvey.
Yeah.
Right? Well-known, well-known in our culture.
Yeah.
Something really amazing happened on his show.
Yeah.
And you didn't know that it was going to happen. Mm-hmm. Just tell us what happened when you met your mother for the first time.
Yeah, you know, we've been talking about this idea of surrender. And this is kind of the, I don't want to say the last part, but the kind of the climax of the story on the heels of surrender. It leads us to this moment. When I'm 24 and we're on the couch doing a little tradition we have in the States here called NFL football, I think.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
And the rule is nobody talks during the game. So the four of us are sitting there. My dad breaks the rule. He's from the country, so he's not everybody from the country is loud. He's loud. So he starts yelling at us in the middle of the game, and he says, you need to go find your parents. And we're like, what? He said, well, you could grow up one day and marry your cousin, and you would never know it.
I had that fear.
Excellent point.
That's right.
Legit,
Randy, you know about this.
Oh, yeah.
And he said, and God told me Steve Harvey was going to help you do it. I got up at that point and left. He's lost his mind. I told you, you know, he had a barbershop down in Auburn, and he would watch the Steve Harvey show every day. And he said one day, so he convinces my sister to write into the show, because she's like, Ellen's not going to write you back. Oprah's not writing you back, right? It's not happening. A year goes by. My phone rings. It's my sister. I answer the phone, my twin. I say, hello. She says, the Steve Harvey Show just called me. They're going to call you by. And hung up the phone. My phone rings again. In another 2 minutes, it's Dorothy from the Steve Harvey Show. She says, hey, this is my first week on the job as a producer. And they put 100 stories on my desk. Yours was the top story. We think we can help you find your biological family. Do you want to do it?
Mm. Wow.
I said, Dorothy, let me call you back. I called my sister. Do you want to do it? She says, no, but I feel like it's God.
Oh, okay.
That surrender thing again.
Oh, okay.
We end up doing the show. They fly me, my sister, my parents up. And when we get there, they say, we haven't found anybody. We're so sorry, but we want to bring you on the show to make a plea. Mm. We go to commercial break. We come back. Steve Harvey looks at us and he says, hey, I know I said this, but that's not the case. Your biological mother is here. Eleanor, come on out.
Oh, my gosh.
And on national television, we meet our biological mother, and he says, and your siblings are here that we didn't even know we had until about 4 years ago. And so it's been wild and wacky.
Yeah, now I watched that, and that moment, I mean, it got to me, especially as an adoptee. That broke you. What was it that broke you on national TV?
I would have to say the flood of emotions all at once.
Sure. Can't imagine.
Sure.
I describe the state as frozen. I was in a frozen state. I was happy, mad, sad, angry, surprised, all at the same time. Like, I don't know what. And the voice of the Lord had to really speak to me and say, hey, snap out of it. We're on national television. We're going to deal with these emotions later.
Yeah.
But your biological mother is standing in front of you. I want you to embrace her.
That you did.
Yeah. And I did.
Okay, as you can see, you're going to have to read the book. There is so much more to this story. It's called A Greater Story, My Rescue, Your Purpose, and Your Place in God's Plan. But first, you know, I want to take you to a place where there is some desperate need right now, some children who are being overlooked and forgotten, but not by God. And I want you, Randy, and I want you to help us make a difference in their lives. Would you watch this?
Life Outreach International teams, along with our mission partners, travel the world documenting the needs of families who lack the very basics of life. Without a doubt, Africa's children always tear at the heart of our teams when they see them struggling in extreme circumstances.
I cannot imagine what it would be like to be a mother like this and want desperately to help your child. This is the hospital, but some of these moms had to walk 10 or 15 kilometers with a seriously malnourished baby just to try and get some help. And if they can get here in time, then there's some hope. But time is everything here, as you can see.
I remember when my brother died. We were hungry, and he was so thin. My mom took him to a clinic that was very far away, and he died on the way there.
It is now up to us to do something to help relieve the plight of these little ones. A bowl of food a day provided through our mission feeding program can make the difference between life and death for young children.
But my prayer is that we can save hundreds of other children before they get to this stage. No child should ever get to this stage. No mom should ever have to watch this. So if we do something now, we can stop this from happening. That is not a movie. That's not 4 years ago. That is right now. Right now, as you and I are part of this program together, there are mothers who are walking for miles to take their severely malnourished children to a clinic. And usually, by the time they get to the clinic, it is too late. I've never seen anything like it in my life. And you know what's interesting? Every single mother I met, when I said to her, when I asked her, may I pray for you, may I pray for your child, every single one of them said, yes. Please pray. But I came away and I remember thinking that night, it's not enough to pray if we're not willing to be the answer to our own prayer. You know, how can you tell a starving child Jesus loves you? You need to feed that child first. You need to build that child up. You need to let these mothers know we're not just going to come in and film and, you know, come back and forget about you. We promised these women we will not forget about you. We will come home and we will tell your story. And as long as the body of Christ is on this planet at the moment, this is on our watch. We need to be Christ's boots on the ground. We've made a commitment, Randy, this year to feed 350,000 children. And it's a promise we need to keep.
Absolutely. And, you know, I like that we're talking about the idea of a greater story, not just in your life, but in the lives of the children across the world. These children, in many regards, are written off by Western societies as third world nations, those born into poverty, those, you know, they're, unfortunately, we don't see them like we should. But look, I know God sees them, and I believe that you see them. So how do we go in? We literally go in with a bowl of food, and it's vitamin enriched. It's blended right there in country, using the things that they need in their bodies. So it's made specifically for this purpose. Well, how do we do more of that? It depends on how much you will partner with us. $30, $50, or $100 will feed 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 whole months. $100, 10 children. Maybe you can give $1,000 and help feed 100 children for 3 months. And you know what? We don't just feed the same children over and over and over again. What we do is we get them to a place where they're stabilized so they can go to school. And Sheila, you and I have been in these places. We have seen where mission feeding is not, and the desperation that takes place there. And then we've gone to where mission feeding is, and we've seen the impact that it's having. It's giving them a future. Join with us. Go to the phone. Go online right now. Give the best gift you can. You can help write that greater story in a child's life today. I hope you'll do it right now.
Today, on top of the daily fight for life and food, families and children across Africa are now forced to deal with the challenges of a global health crisis. Because of COVID-19, food scarcity has increased drastically, and the fear of dying from lack of food is far greater than the virus itself. Even in these unprecedented times, Mission Feeding won't stop. With your help, Mission Feeding will continue to be a daily source of food, encouragement, and health for the 350,000 children counting on us. Call now with your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 that will help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. With your gift, we'll send you 40 Days of Healing Promises. This beautiful hardcover devotional will encourage you in your faith as you dive deep into the healing promises that are yours in Jesus' name. With your gift of $100 or more, please request a Blessings for Your Home bowls and tea towels set. This set of bowls and 2 beautifully designed tea towels will make a wonderful addition to your home and serve as a reminder of your help in blessing others as a friend of life. Finally, with your gift of $1,000 or more to help feed and care for 100 children, be sure to request our commemorative bronze sculpture, A Mother's Strength. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
I hope you are going online or going to the phones right now and giving the best gift you can, because you can write a greater story in a child's life by partnering with us today. And, you know, Sheila, I've enjoyed so much Sam talking to you, but tomorrow we get to meet his wife.
Yes, the other half of the story.
She's a little prettier than me.
I just want to say that. She's
amazing. Her story is awesome, of a story of brokenness that led to hope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she's going to have some great things, I think, to share with women and everyone. Yeah. So I'm so excited about that.
Sam's book's called A Greater Story. Get it where all good books are sold. And we will see you next time on Life Today.
I flew down and I looked my dad in the eye, and I was able to articulate the wounds that I had and the hurt that I was carrying.
Tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.